That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Young F.A. Holmes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money.
All right, welcome back to Don V Fridays, the post. The post. What's the word? Bi-week edition.
Getting back, finding our words. The bi-week throwing us off.
the super stress free edition. We ain't get, the Hokies didn't lose last week. That Saturday, Hokies did not lose. It's always good to get a bye week to refresh, recharge. I went on Saturday. I went to go see Black Adam.
Oh, how was it? Was it good?
I was there for the. I go to the movies for the food.
The food and the vibes.
Yeah. I go for the food and the vibes. Honestly, it was a hero movie. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. You know, especially this era of hero movies where it's like, okay, they got to establish the hero because there ain't no Black Adam movies prior to this that I know of. So they got to establish the history. You know, person rises up, becomes the bad guy, you know, to kill the bad guy. We all go home. Then you get a nice reveal at the end. So, yeah, it was pretty much did what it was supposed to do. But that's what I did on my bye week. Drift, how you living, Chief? What you do during your bye week?
I went to Cincinnati, went out on Saturday in town, watched some football while I was out, watched Cincinnati play. I think they got the dub from what I remember. and then I went to the Bengals game Sunday. So another weekend of going to games. Bengals tore it up.
Bengals putting in that work. My 49ers got whooped.
Yeah, I was watching that game at the bar after the game. We went down to the little bars next to the stadium, and they had that game on the whole time.
They ass is flexed.
Wasn't looking. CMC play well. I didn't even see if he played or anything.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey played majority in the first half. You could tell that whatever script Kyle Shanahan worked on, that's what Christian McCaffrey learned in those 2 days. Everything Christian McCaffrey learned was basically in that opening script in like the next draft. Once gotcha. We got into the flow of the game, it was more Jeff Wilson. But Christian McCaffrey looked explosive. He looked good.
He's going to thrive in that offense.
I think so. I think he's going to thrive. People kept saying, like, why wasn't he doing – why didn't get him the ball as much? It's like, bro, he got there 2 days ago.
He just showed up.
He got there 2 days prior.
He played in a whole different time zone.
Yes, in a whole different time zone. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to increase his role week by week. But when Elijah Mitchell comes back, he don't even got to run between the tackles. So I think Kyle Shanahan is doing what he's supposed to do. Christian McCaffrey is a chess piece. And if you give Kyle Shanahan, McCaffrey, Debo, Brandon Ayuk, a healthy George Kittle, and a week to prepare, he's going to be able to do all kinds of tinkering and tankering and moving motherfuckers here and there. Yep. Man, it's going to be beautiful, but it's going to take some time to get Christian up to the whole playbook.
Oh, yeah. You got time, though. Long season.
Plenty of time. I mean, shit. Yeah. I mean, right now, the Seattle Seahawks lead our division, so it's up for grabs. She's far over.
Exactly. Seahawks are gonna fall off anyway, you know, pretty soon. So
I don't know, bro. They were supposed to be tanking. They might.
Yeah, but they're
they
on
were
the.
Supposed to be tanking.
Yeah, I guess maybe Pete Carroll's got the sauce. Maybe it was him
Pete
instead of Russ
Carroll,
this whole time.
Pete talking shit. Pete been in his bag lately. He was on the. He was in the media saying like, "Y'all thought we was some shit. Look at y'all." Oh, Pete been popping his shit.
They really won that trade against the Broncos, big time. Knew what he was doing.
Yeah, as of right now, yes, and next year they got 2 ones, 2 twos, something like that
mm-hmm.
in the draft. Oh yeah, Pete had a plan, bro.
It's looking good up there.
Pete had a plan, and now they got options because let's say Geno is for real. You got a quarterback, you know. You got you know, and if they don't think that, they can keep Geno, take them ones and them twos and all of that, and still get C.J. Stroud or somebody.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they in what we like to call the catbird seat.
Yeah, especially if the Broncos keep fucking around and losing.
But yes, they are in what we like to call the catbird seat. The man, they can lay the law right now.
Yes,
shout
sir.
Out to Pete, man. Shout out to Pete, crazy ass. Let's show love to the patrons, our legends, our family members, our TP5 brethren and sistren. Shout out to Frank, legend. Shout out to Joe Rogers, legend. Shout out to Jake, legend. Shout out to Nathan, legend. Shout out to Angie, legend. Shout out to Brennan Hill, legend. Shout out to Susan and Matthew. Shout out to Elaine, legend. Shout out to Jerry, legend. Shout out to Cam. Happy birthday, Cam Cobb. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Cam.
Happy birthday to Cam Cobb, legend. Live it up, bro. Shout out to Amir. Shout out to Dan, legend. Shout out to Beth, legend. Shout out to Lonnie. Shout out to Adam, legend. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Nola. Shout out to Mitch, legend. Shout out to Avery. Shout out to Tom, legend. Shout out to Andrew, legend. Shout out to Treadmill Horse. Shout out to Corey. Shout out to I Got Diddler, legend. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Ty. Shout out to Greg, Brandon, and Alex, all legends in their own right. Shout out to Daniel. Shout out to Nathan. Another Nathan in here. Shout out to Two Quickski. Shout out to Josh Young, legend. Shout out to Paul, legend. Shout out to Ben, legend. Shout out to Nick, Saltwater Preacher, legend. Shout out to Marquise. Shout out to Andrew. Shout out to Andrew, man. He been living. I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Yes,
shout out to Valerie. If you know, you know. Shout out to Valerie. Legend. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Mary and Drew. Shout out to Colby. And shout out to John, our lovely legendary Patreons that keep Don V Fridays, they keep the lights on. They are the sponsors of this podcast. Right on time too. Virginia Tech was off. We have no game. We have no loss to recap. God bless. Thank you. We're going to get right into our week 8 lies. We're going to jump right into the nonsense. Last Thursday night game was UVA at Georgia Tech. In a game that was nasty, ugly, sloppy.
Disgusting. Horrific.
Disgusting. Everything. And then UVA comes away with the victory. Georgia Tech loses. I had Georgia Tech. I'm a liar. I have deceived. I have told lies.
I got UVA off that Ike pick. Shout out Ike for that one. That was huge. Appreciate
it. Shout out to Ike, man. I seen the pictures of the University of Virginia players. They were celebrating with Tony Elliott in the locker room. And, you know, when you win, you win. You should be happy. But I seen them trying to be like, oh, they love Tony. the players love Tony. They're buying in. I said, listen, I seen that movie before.
Yep. Last year.
I'm like, God damn. Year one, y'all trying to convince us that they like him.
That's down horrific.
We was trying to do that in 2019 for Fuente. Like, you see, the players love him. Oh, the players love winning. Whatever, though. We say that. We say Fuente. We bring up Fuente every show. It's crazy. Cuse, the Syracuse Orange. They weren't pleased with the outcome, but they were pleased with the fact that they did cover. shout out to Cuse, man. I'm the resident Clemson picker. I always go down with the Clemson ship, it seems.
Yeah.
That was a good game, though.
I had to defer. Shout out to Syracuse for keeping it close. Just respect that shit.
Shout outs to Cuse. They had Clemson scared.
Dino, man. Dino's built a program up there.
Man, Dino been coaching his ass off. Like, ever since he stopped fucking with his hairline, he been coaching, man. Shout outs to Dino, man. Dino been coaching, man. He left his hairline alone, man. Dino, he went through that part of his life that every black man goes through, where they sit in a barber's chair and they let the barber talk this flash shit about, hey, man, you know, we can get you back. Man, listen, black men, and I'm speaking to my brothers that's going bald. I don't have this problem. I have a head full of locks. But my brothers that's going a little bald up top, you getting deep in cover two. If your hairline starts bailing and bail cover two coverage, listen, bro, just cut it off, man. Just cut it off. Let nature take its course, bro. Let it go. You walk around here with a shoe polish hairline. You looking like Carlos Boozer at the free throw line. It's not a good look, my nigga. I'ma just say, y'all, to the shoe polish hairline niggas, it's not a good look, bro. It's not a good look. It's never been a good look. You know, stop letting the barbers gas y'all up, man. Cut it off, man. Bron, you too, bro. You don't get the shoe polish. I know you get your pubes imported in from Afghanistan or something, but let it go, bro. Let it go. Let nature run its course, man. It wasn't meant for you. Okay, you're 6'9". You're chiseled like a Greek god. You can run. You can jump. You can look. He couldn't give you everything, man. Let it go, man. Let it go.
Just give up. Please
give it up, bro. Like, it is. You done played four quarters of hoop and your hairline is half court. Come on, bro. It's crazy. That's nasty work, man. Cuse covers. Clemson wins, by the way. Duke in the upset of the century. Now, we both had Duke covering. We ain't have them putting up a 40 piece.
Hey, you hate to see it, man. You hate to see it on the good old Hurricanes.
Man, they gave their ass a 40 piece platter, no Polynesian sauce.
Oh, man.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. I'm so tired of Miami, bro. It's bad. Just tired.
Every time we
get
up here.
And they got whooped at home. They was at home.
You see that video of the recruits too on the sidelines during that game?
I did not see the video.
Oh, wow. There was a video going around of these recruits sitting on the sideline. They were just cooked back in their chairs, all on their phones, just not even watching the game. They looked like they'd rather be anywhere else. It was terrible. So bad vibes in Miami, man. Cristobal. Uh-oh.
Hey, Mario Cristobal, like.
Hey, listen, we could give pride excuse because we don't really have the talent on the roster, but they got the fucking talent, man. They got athletes down there.
Yeah, they got enough talent to not get whooped. And this is the second time, too. Like, mind you, Middle Tennessee State put up 48 points. Gave them almost a 50-piece platter. No ranch. It's crazy down there.
Disgusting.
That's crazy.
Nasty
like,
word.
Man, Sean Taylor didn't die for this shit. I'm like, nah, bro, that shit crazy. Like, I wouldn't even want my kids associated with foolishness like that. Don't get me wrong, Virginia Tech be losing. We're on a 4-game losing streak. That's all well and good. But the point totals are looking crazy.
Yeah, we have.
We couldn't do it, but
yeah, man. Scary hours in South Beach.
Scary hours. It's okay to fire somebody after 1 year, man. I know they be acting like you can't. You got to give them, let them rebuild, bro. Miami didn't have this crazy rebuild like us, like you said.
It was
UVA and Miami was given. They had some teams to work with.
Yeah, big time.
Man, like, I don't think any Miami fans expected to win a Natty or go to the playoffs to even win a Coastal. But I think they expected to not get blown out by like the likes of Middle Tennessee and Duke.
At home. Unbelievable.
At home. Like people pulling up at Coral Gables talking shit. It's all bad, man. It's all bad. Wake Forest beat the shit out of Boston College. No surprise there. Sam Hartman is he up there with Taj Boyd in them as far as ACC all-time QBs. I think Phillip Rivers is still the record holder, but who knows? ACC. Think about the ACC don't get its due as far as putting out great quarterbacks, the Deshaun Watsons of the world, the Trevor Lawrences, the Tyrod Taylors, the this great quarterback conference. And Sam Hartman is just another in that line of great quarterbacks to come out of the Atlantic Coast Conference. I seen they showed that graphic where I don't think he passed Taj Boyd yet. Shout out Taj, man. Phoebus High School, big 757 teams going down. But they had him next to Taj Boyd, but they had the UNC logo next to Taj Boyd, not the Clemson logo.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's a big time fuck up right there. You can't be doing that.
Hey, shout out to the ACC Network, man. That's like on brand.
That is on brand for the ACC Network.
Shout outs to them. And last but not least, lie of the week, I had Pitt over Louisville. No, Louisville took care of that business. Malik Cunningham is back. Louisville's so hard to call, bro.
Yeah, they're all over the place, but just gut feelings, man. Gut feelings. That's my first undefeated week. Zero lies. I told all truths.
Zero lies.
Zero lies. 5-0. Unbelievable.
No mustard on the jacket.
I'm out here sniping. Let's see. This is why those of you listening to the picks, we got the picks coming in. This week I'll go fucking 1-for-4 or some shit though.
Yeah, no. If anybody following me, let me just put out a disclaimer that when I advise gambling, I'm saying use your cable money. Use your cable bill money. Don't use your rent money. You know, use your play money. Don't use your real stuff. Fooling with me. Mess around and be on the bookies. You out here ducking smoke. You can't go to work. People leaning on your house. Use your play money. Don't use your real money.
Don't be out here. Don't break. Don't be doing that.
Yeah, don't get hurt fooling with me. Week nine in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Got a full slate. Everybody's coming off their bye weeks. Everybody's done had their bye weeks, and now it's time to get to some real deal slate, some real deal action. We're going to start. Honestly, the first game in the conference is us versus NC State, but we always like to talk about us last. Notre Dame at number 16, Syracuse. Syracuse is coming off a loss, but it was, you know, you hate to say it's an encouraging loss or a moral victory, but, man, you got the heavyweight champion on the ropes. On the road, Cuse did this.
Yep.
And Sean Tucker didn't even have the ball all game. He didn't even dominate the ball. And they still had them people on the ropes. Notre Dame been having a horrible season under first-year coach. What's my man name?
Marcus Freeman.
Marcus. Why was I about to say I was about to say Hamilton. Cal. I was about to say Cal Hamilton.
Cal. Yeah. He got promoted after last year.
He got promoted. He stopped being the safety and started coaching. Marcus, under first year coach, Marcus Freeman, they've been struggling. I would have asked my brother, they will fire your ass. You don't get to rebuild, sir. They will fire your ass. Mm-hmm. Believe that. You better do something. But Cuse is 2.5-point favorites. They're at home. It's hard to play at the dome. What you got?
Riding with Cuse still. Got to take Cuse here. Notre Dame coming up to New York. It's Cuse for me. Notre Dame's been – they've been so up and down this season. But honestly, Cuse is probably one of the best teams they've played all year. So, I'm riding with Cuse.
I'm going to ride with Cuse as well. 2.5 points, I think I'm going to roll with Cuse. Notre Dame is one of those fan bases where, like, they probably going to have a lot of fans there. Notre Dame just got one of those, especially in the Northeast. They got a shit ton of fans. I'm pretty sure a lot of Notre Dame fans up in upstate New York. Man, shout out to everybody up in upstate. Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, I guess that's upstate. Shout out to everybody upstate, man.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Notre Dame going to bring a nice crowd with them.
But they always do. They travel super well. National fan base for sure.
Nice national fan base. But I'm a roll with Q's, man. Now, if Dino get the fucking with his hairline, give me Notre Dame. But I think Dino done with the monkey shit. He done with the dumb shit. So give me Q's.
Yep.
Boston College. You know UConn got to be ass. Boston College is on the road at UConn, and Boston College is 7.5-point favorites.
It's crazy that it's only 7.5, though.
Let me say something. If you are a touchdown dog, more than a touchdown dog, to Boston College, you are not good. I haven't seen 1 minute of a UConn game all season. I'm gonna go with Vegas. I'm gonna just believe Vegas.
Yep, same. Give me BC.
I'm gonna just believe Vegas, bro, because that's crazy. How you at home? How you a dog at home that bad? Okay, yeah.
UConn also has one of the worst like locker room problems in NCAA. So they've been going through some big time issues in the program for a couple of years now. I'm surprised that Boston College honestly isn't favored by more. So I'll take Boston College minus 7.5.
And I bet you Bo Davidson is part of UConn Twitter talking shit. Like, oh, okay. Subtweeting the fans and shit like a goofy. Yeah, Bo Davidson. We know. Listen. You know what? Maybe UConn football don't have a Twitter. Maybe UConn basketball fans, he probably talking shit to them. They don't really got to.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're an FBS school for football, honestly. They just need to cut it, focus on basketball.
Yeah, and you know, and UConn had a – let me tell you something. When Randy Edsall was at UConn football, they was kind of lit, man. It's some young folks. It's some young people that don't remember UConn football. UConn was kind of lit, man, back in the like late 2000s. Like they was going to BCS bowl games. They went to like an Orange Bowl, went to like a Fiesta Bowl, went against, was putting dudes in the NFL consistently. Like Aaron Hernandez almost went to UConn, people. Like UConn was kind of lit when Randy Edsall was there. And it was all went to hell in the handbasket.
Yeah.
It'd be like that. I don't even want to get the line and see who coached UConn now. I want to say Jim Mora Jr. I don't know. Who knows? give us both Boston College, because you got to be ass to be a home dog in Boston College coming to town. Georgia Tech at Florida State. Florida State is 24-point favorites. That's a wild line, bro. Florida State not that good to be getting that kind of respect.
Yo, you already know where I'm going here.
I've been fucking with Georgia Tech a little bit. They, like, I don't know. Like, I've been every Georgia, I think my last like six Georgia Tech picks been wrong. I've been on the wrong side of the Georgia Tech every time. Something like that. Something crazy. Like Georgia Tech is not doing what they're supposed to do for me. But I'm going to roll with Georgia Tech.
I'm going to roll with Georgia Tech. Same. 24 is way too much. That's way too much points to get to Florida State.
Yeah.
I can't, even I can't at home, do that. I can't do that much.
I can't do that shit. I can't do that shit at all. The University of Miami, the U, at UVA. Miami is 2-point favorites. Both of these programs need this win in the worst way for their first-year coaches. What you got?
I'm taking Miami. I just it's just Miami so up and down, you know, that I got you gotta buy stock when it's super low. And right now their stock is super low, so I'm buying it. They'll win this game. That's what they'll do. They'll turn around, they'll get fucked the next week, but they'll win this game.
I might be mistaken, but I think Florida State plays Miami next week or something like that. So they both might get caught looking. You know how that goes. I think I've been on the wrong side of UVA a lot this year, but no matter whether I'm picking them to win or lose, I've been on the wrong side of UVA like all year, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So no matter what I pick, I'm going to be wrong. So I'm going to take Miami too, because if I'm going to be wrong, I'm at least go out on the winning, on the right side of history. I don't really think I've been fooling with UVA, but being that I just picked Miami, UVA should win.
Yeah.
Because I just been on the wrong side of UVA all year.
It's been a while since we both picked Miami, both of us. I don't think we've done that yet this year. So that means UVA is for sure gonna win. Congrats, Ike, we just helped you out.
Wake Forest at Louisville. Shout out to the Deeks, man. The Deeks been on the low ski, collecting their wins, doing what they got to do. Louisville has, but they're on a little two game win streak, something like that.
Yeah, and they're since that Boston College game, yeah, they kind of turned it around.
Turning things around. I'm taking Wake. I'm going to be taking Wake until further notice. Wake been holding it down. They've been consistent. Just give me Wake.
I'm taking Louisville on this one. I'm sticking with Louisville. They've been paying me off recently. I'm liking what they're doing. I think, you know, Wake's really hasn't played anybody that good recently. They beat up on BC. They beat up on Army. They had that close game against FSU, and then before that was the Clemson game. So I don't know. I think Louisville's turning it up a little bit. I'm going to take Louisville. And it's in Louisville, too. They got the home field advantage. I'll take them against the spread, 3.5.
You heard it here first. And the Pittsburgh Panthers at UNC. UNC is favored. Pitt has been, what's the word, floundering. They haven't been looking sharp lately. They ain't looked sharp since they played Tech. It'd be like that. I'm taking the Tar Heels. I'd have been on the wrong side of some Pitt situations as well, so I'm taking the Tar Heels.
Oh, this is a tough one. I like this one. I'm going Pitt here for the sole fact that I think Pitt can run the ball, and I don't think North Carolina can stop them. And also, I don't think Pitt's going to lose back-to-back games. And UNC's been getting super lucky recently with that Duke game and that Miami game. So I'm going to go ahead and roll Pitt here. I got to switch it up.
Switching it up. So that's the week. That's the week 9 last. And now for the ultimate week 9 live, Thursday, 7:30. ESPN, I'm assuming. We go back to the Food Network next week when we play Georgia Tech. But I think we get to play on ESPN. No streams. No looking on crack streams for the game. The Virginia Tech Hokies face the NC State Wolfpack. Obviously, the main narrative story. Devin Leary out for the season. But that said, NC State is still 13.5-point favorites at home. Virginia Tech is coming off their bye week where they got some much needed rest and relaxation. NC State quarterback Jack Chambers, he's a transfer from Charleston Southern. Expect them to run the ball a lot. I don't think they're even going to try to get sneaky. I don't think they're going to try to get tricky. They are going to force Virginia Tech to stop the run. They're going to make them stop the run. You're going to have to stop. We're not going to try to trick you and set up things. Nothing. You're going to stop this run first. And then they're going to have to adjust. That's it. Stop the run, man.
The over-under in this game is 39. So I don't think Vegas is thinking we're going to score much or they're going to score much. It's going to be kind of a slow game. But you think the run defense is going to actually show up? Because if it does, things might be kind of interesting. But we've also seen this run defense get torched in certain games this year.
Yeah, yes. It's going to be hard stopping the running quarterback. Virginia Tech has had the pleasure of who was the most mobile quarterback we faced so far this year? I'm trying to think.
Maybe Drake May?
Drake May. And he kind of got off. Drake May isn't he's a dual threat. He can run the ball. But this kid we're playing is a running quarterback. He's going to run the ball. I forgot. I think I seen a stat where he has like 100 rush yards in the last five quarters he's played. So we know what he's trying to do. We know what NC State is trying to do. But if you break down the tail of the tape, Virginia Tech has not scored 30 points all season. Expect that streak to continue. I don't think Virginia Tech is going to be looking to put up any points. They're going to try to get out of Raleigh, steal a victory, try to win a fist fight of a game, take the ball out of Grant Wills' hands probably, try to look to mitigate the mistakes, stop the mistakes, try to get out of there with a victory, man.
Yeah.
What say you?
Both these teams coming off a bye. I'm just curious to see what Tech looks like off a bye with Pry. I just want to see what the adjustments are, what kind of energy we come out with. I think it's going to be cool. Sam Mansour to Lane, start the game, play the whole game. I'm excited to see what the defense looks like in pass coverage because I think they'll do well. But I think the big problem is Virginia Tech has always struggled against running quarterbacks. And this is the first big test, like you said. So how are they going to adjust? How are they going to look? What are they going to look like? I think it's going to be very telling on the staff how we play this game. So there's been a lot of talk about Pry wanting to switch up the offense a little bit, get more points on the board, be a little more aggressive. So I want to see it. I want to see some improvements before I can really start to, you know, I think the one thing I've wanted to see this season that we haven't seen is, you know, we talked about this 4-game stretch that was going to be difficult with UNC, Pitt, Miami, and now this game. I thought we were going to go 2-2. You thought we were going to go 2-2. We haven't. We've gotten kind of blown out at times. We need Pry to get a win to get the fan base going. Like, we need that. We need that kind of big win. Like, even if the rest of the season is ass and we only beat UVA, we kind of need this win. So at least to go into next season and have it in the bag. So I would love to see us get this win because NC State is ranked. That would be great for us to have like a ranked road win. I think this is a bigger game than it's being looked at for that reason.
Yes. Before the season, most Virginia Tech fans had this game marked. Like, this could be the biggest game of the season. And obviously, the way our season has went, we haven't held up our end in making this a big game. NC State also, you know, losing their starting quarterback and having some losses. And we have both said in the past that if we were facing like a potentially top 10 ranked NC State, I think we would be so alert. We could still, we would have felt better about the game had they been, had all the expectations of the world on them.
Right.
Now, with their starting quarterback out, they've took some losses. They have nothing. Like, the ball is back in their court. Nobody's expecting them to do anything. So now they can play free. They can beat the shit out of us.
That's the worst place to be when you're playing NC State, is when they're just kind of chilling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You want them when they're ranked top 10 at home with all the hype. That's where you want them. But coming off a loss, coming off a bye week, it's going to be tough. But I really think this win could go a really long way for Prize staff in recruiting too. So you get a night game, a Thursday night game, high school kids are going to be watching. Like, it would go a long way. So I think it's got a lot on the slate. We just had Fahim Delane. I think that's how you say his name. I might have said it wrong. Come visit, who's Bansor Delane's younger brother. So man, we gotta start putting it together on the field.
Gotta start putting teams together on the field. Yeah, you got, man. Dante Lovett out here tweeting who offered him. Pitt looked at us, and now they trying to slide on us. They thinking we sweet. They thinking we look weak. And first of all, Pitt, y'all not in a position to try to slide on any of our recruits, bro. Like, y'all not that – yeah, y'all beat us, but you don't do that after a loss. You don't try to flip us after no loss, man. Get out of here. But flip season approaches as the early signing day. It's almost November, y'all. Early signing day is creeping up. Last time I checked, I think the Hokies have like the 41st rank class, some mid ass shit. Our friend Ox VT, shout out to Ox, man. I know Ox gets a lot of hate on this podcast.
Ox gets a lot of hate on this podcast.
Ox put out a chart, and it's just raw data. Of the top, it might not even be 50
like,
kids.
It's like 40 in Virginia.
40 kids in Virginia. And nobody in the top 20 is going to Virginia Tech.
Yeah. We have like a massive slew of kids from, what is it, like 22 like to 40 to like 22 to like 35 or something.
Yeah, 22 and up. Yeah, 22 to like 35. And it kind of sparked a conversation in my mentions that I really don't be trying to have. I just said Pry needs to let his nuts hang. He needs to step on some shit next year. I didn't say he needs to land the top 10, all of them. I just said he needs to let his nuts hang a little bit. Like, we knew it was going to be a struggle the first season. And people was like, well, he recruited the top whatever players to Penn State. I don't care.
Yeah, but you're selling a different product, man.
Like, I don't care what he did for Penn State. It's easier to recruit to Penn State than Virginia Tech at this moment. It's easier to do that. We need him to bring those kids to Virginia Tech. Obviously, he don't have the same finances at his disposal. He don't have the same clout that Penn State has at his disposal. We just saying that he needs to get a little bit more in the top 20 done. Our friend, a person I respect a lot, Dwight Vick, was saying that, you know, the rankings can be flawed. Not the rankings can be flawed, but, you know, not to put too much faith into the 247s and the rivals. And of course not, but perception is reality. And you got to land these kids, man. No matter how, you look at the top, whatever. Yes, there's going to be busts in every class. There's going to be gems in every class. But your recruiting philosophy cannot be we found 30 gems.
Right, exactly. Give me,
gave me that.
Yeah, okay. Give me 5 4 stars a class, and maybe 2 of them are busts, but 3 of them are NFL players. Okay, cool.
Yeah, do that. Give me something.
Do that every year, and you'll have a pretty successful program.
Give
and
me a little something.
The thing is this class, I feel like it was a big foundational class of Virginia kids, yes, in general, and really just like setting the bar on like we're gonna stay in state, whatever. And next class, like 24 class. That's if we don't really start to press other schools in Virginia next year, I think there's going to be a problem. But
yeah, we just want to press. We, yes, just want to be in the mix.
And we've had a lot of these guys on campus now. So it's set up. I mean, if you look at the 24/7 composite for 2024, Fletcher Westphal has been in the building multiple times. Asad Brown has been in the building multiple times. Chance Wiggins, multiple times. Those are all top 6 guys.
Yes.
4-star players. Mekhi White has been there. So hold off, but like if we don't get any of these kids, like you might have to sound the alarms, but it next class is really when we need to have that conversation.
Yes, definitely. What you think about Desmond Ricks reclassifying to the 23 class?
I don't even know who Desmond Ricks is.
He's like, He was 2024. That's probably why, you know,
is he might now be a
little off the radar. Okay. But he was like the number 2 corner in the 24 class. He's reclassifying to the 23 class. He from Chesapeake, Virginia. He from 757, but he go to IMG. And
I do know who you're talking about. That's why I can't find him on the rankings right now. Isn't he committed to Clemson? Yeah.
No, he's not committed to nobody.
Oh, okay.
But he's like they're saying Florida State got the inside track. But being that he just reclassified, I don't know, man, old Saint Nick.
Hey, man.
I don't know where Bama's at in his recruitment, but
reclassified. They are hot. They're hot. He's way above our pay grade. I don't think there's a chance we get him. But now that you say it, I do remember seeing him on Twitter. He's a composite 5-star. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Bama, Georgia, Texas A&M, etc. Over there. I don't know.
I thought Florida had his ad track. You just say everybody but Florida.
Yeah. I don't think Florida.
Think Nate got the juice?
Nah. Mm-mm. Nah, not when you reclassify her like that. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Florida's not on that same wavelength right now. Maybe in a couple of years, but they just got a new coach. They're figuring shit out. I don't know. We'll see.
That would be a hell of a
If I had to put my money down, definitely Bama would probably be it.
That IMG, the Bama pipeline.
It's too strong, man. It's too strong. It's too strong.
Well, God bless Desmond Ricks. Like, we want to see 757 always do great, even if it's not with us. We always want to see 757 kids flourishing. We don't get into the hating shit. So shout out to Desmond Ricks, man. Put on for the 75, bro. But that's it for Don V Fridays.
Little short episode this week. We didn't have no shit to talk about. A game, no disappointment,
no loss,
no sadness. Just a nice, yes, happy Saturday watching college football, hanging out.
Yeah, oh, just, man, hanging out, chilling, man, watching Black Adam and shit.
Watching movies
and teens. I had a thought in my mind. I completely drew a blank.
That's all we
got. House of the Dragon ending. The season's over with.
Great show. I'm hoping a lot of you guys saw it. I've seen a lot of Virginia Tech Twitter talking about it. So it was a great show. I was thoroughly impressed. If you had to rate it on a scale from 1 to 10, based on your expectations when you started versus what we got, what would you say?
I would give it a solid 8.
I think that's.
I would give it a solid 8 under the grounds of, I think they told a great story. I think that And it's hard to sometimes get good directors to get things to come across on TV. I didn't read the book Fire and Blood. So, but I do watch a lot of YouTube. I do watch a lot of people in there who break down the differences from the books, you know, to TV. And they got the story to come across well. I heard one podcaster say, this could have been a better if they used the same actors and actresses and they told the story in reverse, meaning you get the conflict, you know, them set up for the conflict first episode, and then they go back and tell the story through flashbacks. Now, Game of Thrones ain't a flashback show. They don't really do it like that, but I thought that was an interesting take.
Well, Game of Thrones kind of had that in there with the Three-Eyed Raven stuff.
That was the Three-Eyed Raven stuff, and they did tell some, they give some stuff to flashbacks, but that was more so Brandon Stark learning things that he didn't even know. He was like, shit, I thought Pops won that fight. What the fuck? Like, what you mean? Like, you know, so it was kind of like, he was watching the flashbacks like us.
Right. We were all in the room.
We was all watching the flashbacks together. Like, but yeah, they don't really tell, they don't really give flashbacks. That seems to not be the way they do things, but that was interesting. Like, okay, they're all beefing and then they tell it backwards. But
I thought it was good. I thought it was great. I think the only thing they could have done better is maybe the season could have been like 12 or 13 episodes. I think it could have been a little longer just because some of the time jumps kind of skipped over some stuff that I would have liked a little bit more context into. Like I feel like the Strong Boys, their bastard father, I kind of feel like he came out of nowhere. Kind of, there was really no explanation on where that kind of started. So I don't know, just small things like that. But overall, I'd probably say it's an 8.5 for me. Great show. I just like how you can't really hate anybody and you can't really love anybody. Like every character has their clear cut like flaws, and they have the things that they do well. And so it's a very hard show to judge. You can't just say that this person's the hero and this person's the villain. So it's good in that way.
Yeah, that's what people like, that gray area stuff. They could have showed us Lady Allison's feet. I mean, the dude's jacking off to him. They could have showed us what the rage was about. But overall, man, they did a good job, man. Shout out to George R.R. Martin for not having a life and
conjuring that shit up in his brain. I don't know how you come up with all that shit, but hey, man, keep doing it.
Right. That's called not having a life at all. Like,
he needs to write that last book is what he needs to do.
George R.R. Martin, just like you could tell this off how he looked, like he was definitely scaring the hoes. You could tell he was scaring the hoes and his youth and his teens. When everybody was around trying to smash hoes, he's saying weird shit. he writing books about Targaryens and White Walkers and all kinds of weird shit. George R.R. Martin gives big scaring the hoes energy. So,
and we love it. Thank you.
Shout out to him. He sacrificed 50 years of getting pussy to entertain us down the road. So that's shout out to him.
True love right there. We appreciate that shit.
But yeah, man, that's it for Donkey Fridays, man. We want to thank y'all for tapping in with the best.
You'll be back.
Drift, you got anything to say to the people?
I got nothing other than let's go with Hokies. That's it. See you guys next week.
Next week, y'all. God bless.